Today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to www.builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON so they know I sent you, and you'll get 20% off your next order. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Phillies podcast. My name is Dan Wilson, and on today's episode, your full Major League Baseball Tender Day recap, specifically as it pertains to the Philadelphia Phillies. On Wednesday, Major League Baseball's tender deadline was at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It means that this is the last possible day that the Phillies and all Major League Baseball teams have the option to tender contracts, which means obviously keep guys or new guys who are already under club control. There were a slew of moves that the Phillies had to make. No real surprises, with the exception of maybe one, which I'll get to in a second. Let's highlight kind of the obvious ones. Obviously, Rhys Hoskins will be back for another season. Everyday first baseman, no-brainer. Zach Eflin will be back in the rotation in 2021. It's going to be a big year for him. Big year in terms of how this pitching staff pans out. And I'll even get to more on that in a second. Sir Anthony Dominguez, who's a little bit of a weird story. His surgery was delayed, and it's unclear when they'll even have him by. Unlikely that he'll even be ready for opening day, I believe. I'll double check on that. But so you hope to get him back at some point next season, but he was a reliable bullpen arm and definitely showed some positive flashes, and especially from what the bullpen we had last year, it would be nice to get a good, reliable Sir Anthony Dominguez coming out for innings the 7th, 8th, maybe getting some work in the 9th inning. Another 9th inning guy who sometimes his stock is up, sometimes his stock is down, but regardless of what you think of him, Hector Neris will be back in the Phillies bullpen in 2021 alongside David Hale, who of course the Phillies acquired this past season. And Andrew Knapp will be coming back for 2021. There was some surprise around the Knapp move, which I was not really surprised at all. It doesn't have any effect, in my opinion, on whether or not they sign JT Realmuto. None of these moves in general, especially Knapp, are going to break the bank in any way. And Knapp's a guy who actually has started opening day. You remember that first ever Gabe Kapler era game down in Atlanta where he pulled Aaron Nola after 68 pitches. Andrew Knapp was the catcher that day against the Braves. So he has done it. I don't think anyone's looking for him to be the primary option at catcher. They'd like to see either Realmuto signed or someone like James McCann on this team in 2021. But the guy who I wanted to get to, and again, I'll highlight what all of those players have and have not done in their Phillies careers in just a little bit right here. Vince Velasquez. That's right. Good old Vince Velasquez will be back on the Philadelphia Phillies in 2021. The fifth year. That's right, tally, fifth year that he will be with the Phillies. Of course, he was acquired from the Astros back in 2015. He has been nothing but disappointing. The fact that they signed him just kind of speaks to the fact that they're so thin in terms of rotation help that they're willing to just bring a guy back just to try him again. Haven't you given this guy enough shots? I mean, seriously, how many spring trainings, year after year after year after year, have we heard that this guy's in the best shape of his career? He feels great. He's feeling great. He's throwing the best he's ever felt. This is going to be a big step year for him. Let me give you his numbers since he's been on the Phillies. And I apologize, this will actually be his sixth season in a Phillies uniform. He's already had five. Quite frankly, it feels like 20. He came here during the 2015 offseason. 2016, he had an ERA of 412, 2017, 513, 2018, 485, 2019, 491, and this past year in 2020, the worst of them all, a 556 earned run average. The guy we all know is athletic. He infamously played left field. He makes cool plays in the field. His strikeout totals were at an all-time career high this year, averaging more than 12 per nine. But my goodness, this guy has had a label on him for years. He can't get past the fifth inning more than half the time. He's always around that 100-pitch mark. He'll go 0-2 in a batter, and the guy works a full count. Never has had the control or command of the zone that a major league starter needs. And the Phillies, based upon the moves they made on Wednesday, this 2021 opening day roster is starting to take shape. As we know, they didn't offer a qualifying offer to Didi Gregorius. They did to JT Realmuto. He obviously declined. So those two names are floating in free agency. The likes of Neris and Knapp, and Rhys Hoskins, obviously, and Zach Eflin, and David Hale, and Sir Anthony Dominguez, they will all be back, along with Vince Velasquez. But we're really starting to get a sense of what this team's going to look like in 2021, and the fact that they're bringing Vince Velasquez back, in terms of what their actions are telling you right now, means that they don't think that they're going to be able to complete this rotation without him, or at least they're signing him to his, I believe, estimated $4.55 million contract in 2021, that they are planning to sign him because he's going to be the fifth starter, potentially a sixth starter, bullpen arm. They're giving him another shot. This team needs to look elsewhere, outside the organization, for rotational help. In terms of what this rotation is going to look like in 2021, you have your obvious names, right? Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, they're at the top. Zach Eflin, who was officially brought back today, though no one expected he'd be going anywhere. He is another integral part of this rotation. He's in the three spot. And then those final two spots are kind of up for grabs. I'd still like to see Spencer Howard. I'm hopeful that he can still be the prospect he was projected to be. I know he didn't have a good 2020 season. It was a shortened year. I'm sure it was weird for everyone. No minor leagues, no none of that. So maybe he's your fourth starter, though you certainly can't rely on it, and he doesn't have a proven track record. Other names include Ranger Suarez, Adonis Medina, who came up in 2020. I think Cole Irvin is. He's proven that, you know, he's a AAA pitcher. But Vince Velasquez has certainly proven what he is, and I've complained about it on this very podcast before. If you're planning on rolling Vince Velasquez out every fifth day again, I mean, seriously, let someone else give him a shot. Phillies fans have been tortured enough watching this guy, and frankly, it's ridiculous. More of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up, but first, a word from our sponsors. More of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up, but first, I want to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They have 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. My personal favorite, cookies and cream. I just tried it the other day. Bars are healthy. That's the best part about these things. Built Bars are great for the health conscious guy or girl. They will help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, and great for anyone on a diet. While supplies last, you will get a free cooler with your purchase. Again, while supplies last, you will get a free cooler with your online purchase. Go to www.builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On so they know I sent you. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON. And you will get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. One last time, that's www.BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Before I moved on from the Velasquez stuff, I did want to finally just recap the trade that brought him here to begin with. It was December 12th, 2015, shortly after Matt Klintak had been hired. Might have actually been the first major move he made as the general manager of the Phillies. If you remember that trade, Phillies had what appeared to be an up-and-coming closer, obviously in a really bad team in Ken Giles. They were looking to get some value for him. So they sent Giles and prospect Jonathan Arauz, not sure if I'm saying that correctly. They got a guy back by the name of Harold Arauz, spelled the exact same way. No relation there. But of course, the more known names in that deal were Brett Oberholzer, Tom Eshelman, Mark Appel, and Vince Velasquez. Now to recap, Oberholzer was on the Phillies for a little bit. He was terrible. Eshelman never appeared for the Phillies, and he was traded to the Orioles in 2019. Mark Appel is like the definition of a bust. He was the number one pick just 2 years prior to this trade. The Astros gave up on him. He never turned into anything. And then Vince Velasquez is the only long-standing guy for the Phillies out of this entire deal. And he hasn't even been good. And it's almost like they're trying to keep him around just to prove that they have some sort of value in him. Or just because they have lack of other options to finish out this rotation. Just try anywhere else. Try anywhere else. Try anyone else. Look outside the organization. There have already been some starting pitchers who have been signed on the market, including the likes of a guy like Charlie Morton, who they've now let slip through their fingers a few times and is a former Philly. And I listed a number of them the other day, so I won't re-go through all of them. But man, oh man, you're going to roll Vince Velasquez out again. I just frankly can't believe it, and it's quite irritating. Now, in terms of what these other moves mean for the Phillies, to kind of highlight the Sir Anthony Dominguez story, and I alluded to it in the first segment. Sir Anthony Dominguez is a guy who is basically going to have an injury that lingers over the course of three seasons. He had his 2019 cut short. He didn't pitch at all in 2020, and he didn't get his surgery until July of this year, and it's estimated to be about a year's worth of recovery. So he's not going to be ready, as I kind of had alluded to, for the beginning of 2021. They'll be lucky to get him around the All-Star break. Now, in terms of what this guy can do on the field when he's actually healthy, in 2018, he appeared in 53 games for the Phillies at a 2.95 ERA, a whip that was below 1, 11.5 strikeouts per 9. The guy can pitch. And that was in a 16-save season. And, of course, that team went 80-82. The guy can pitch, and the guy can be a reliable arm. Now, we don't know what he's going to be post-injury, and I mentioned in 2019... he pitched for the Phillies as well. Of course, not nearly as many games. This time, 27 games, as ERA jumped a little above 4. Still at a strikeout rate of 10.6 per 9, and then the injury showed up, and it's now going to affect, as I mentioned, the course of three seasons, 2019, 2020, and the first half of 2021. But the fact that they're bringing him back is at least a positive sign. You hope they can give or that they can get something from him. The fact that they still had him under club control to get back definitely has the potential to be a nice addition to this bullpen in 2021. Taking a look at a guy like Hector Neris, he's a guy who's probably, over the course of his Phillies career, underrated. He's been with the Phillies since 2014. Where he only pitched one game, really been on the team since 2015. When he came up, pitched 32 games that year, and his first real season had a 3.79 ERA. His whip was a little high, struck out 9 guys per 9, and then really the strikeout number started to climb. 2018, notably, 14.3 strikeouts per 9. However, his ERA climbed above 5, and then this year, his numbers were not too great either. as he had a 4.57 ERA to accompany a whip that was more than 1.7 and a strikeout rate that again dropped back down to 11, which was a significant drop from where it was 2 years ago in 2018. Consistency's always been an issue with him. The ninth inning, when he's pitching it, is always an adventure. Of course, he had the ninth inning. He was relinquished of that ninth inning role this year when they acquired Brandon Workman, which turned out to be an absolute disaster. But I don't mind bringing him back. He's sure as hell better than a number of the other guys that are going to fill up this bullpen. By the way, we don't know some of those either. My overall sense of this offseason is that they're kind of just sitting around making decisions when they need to. They haven't really been active on anything. At the deadline for making qualifying offers, they sat on their hands, didn't do anything with Gregorius because they were essentially being cheap and were afraid he was going to accept. When it came to JT Realmuto, they knew he wouldn't accept, so they sent one out. He said no, so that was the end of that. They didn't get anyone from qualifying offers. Those are the only two guys who were eligible. And now you come to tender day, and they basically are just like, yeah, we'll bring the same team back. This is business as usual. The team that went 500 in 2018 and 500 in 2019, really a game below 500 in 2018, and 500 in 2019 and two games below 500 in 2020 and missed a 16-game playoff system. We're just going to bring everyone back. We'll fill the holes as needed. And we'll start the 2021 season. Like, everything's all good. Come on. Like, seriously, I guess the only other guy you could say that is different from those teams I just mentioned, someone who I actually omitted just now in David Hale, who I mentioned in the first segment of the program. He was acquired from the Yankees this year with the Phillies, appeared in just six games, had an ERA above four. Strikeouts were horrible, wasn't much of a contributor. Again, he wasn't the main bullpen piece that they looked to acquire at the deadline. It was more so Workman and Phelps. Hale, just a nice cleanup guy, mop-up guy. One of the lower relievers, or at least he should be one of the lower level relievers that you have coming out of this 2020 bullpen that they elected to give another shot to. He pitched in New York. He overlapped a little bit, I believe, in 2018 with Joe Girardi. So I guess there's something there as well. But back to my original point, this roster is starting to take shape for 2021. And things just frankly aren't looking very different. That'll do it for this edition of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Have a great day, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow.